love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. What an amazing line, that we are children of God. We just heard some of that in the child dedication and the children's story. And we do want to hear a little bit, as we did on Mother's Day, from some mothers. We would like to hear this morning some from fathers about what it means to be a father, what it means to be a Christian father. And so I would like to invite first Greg Dreger forward to share, and then Paul Workington, and then myself. Greg.
Good morning. When I held her for the first time, I knew I had changed. I wasn't prepared for that feeling. My heart was no longer in my body. It was exposed. There was so much love, but it was vulnerable. It was in my daughter that I held in my arms. Fast forward, 6 years later, Dallas is learning to skate. I'm at Kingsville Arena. I just finished tying that little girl's skates. She's so excited to get on the ice. Her friends are there too. They're just as excited. After I finished that last knot, they all rushed out onto the ice. They were all confident that they would learn quickly. It was at this point I realized I made a serious mistake. I didn't sharpen her skates. So if you don't know, these skates were brand new, and which means they were seriously dull, and even the most experienced skater wouldn't be able to stand. From the stands, I watched Dallas struggle to fight to keep her feet underneath her like a baby fawn trying to walk. I was anxious, and it was a 1 hour practice. Dallas continued to fall over and over again. It killed me to watch it. She never gave up though, but she was the worst skater on the ice. I watched as she got more frustrated and more frustrated, and it was my fault. I knew that I could go out there and pull her off the ice. I wanted to so bad, but I didn't, because I had a point where I wanted Dallas to not be saved, but to learn from her struggle. That day, she never stood up. By the end of the practice, as you can tell, I'm an emotional dad. she never stood up, but she was nearly defeated. For me, this is parenting. You know, you have difficult choices to make, and sometimes tremendous pressure to try and do the right thing to raise a good person. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Dedicate your children to God and point them in a way that they should go, and the values they'll learn from you will be with them for life. It can sometimes be a challenge to point our children in the right direction. Do we force our kids down that right path? Or do we let them struggle so that they can find their own way? Alison Gopnik, a psychology and philosophy professor from Berkeley, believes parents nowadays think their children are entities that can be molded into a very specific image. Parents believe they are like carpenters building a cabinet with a set of plans. A carpenter can control all variables with little surprises in the creation process. But most importantly, the carpenter has lots of control over the final product. Gopnik proposes that parents should be more like gardeners. Like a gardener can have a plan, but there's a lot more variables they have to consider. Rain, sunlight, moisture, and humidity. There's a lot of unknowns. As a result, the gardener has less control over everything and instead must focus on nurturing plants so that they can grow. To love our children and show them the path, we have to give up our control. We must remain vulnerable to the bumps and bruises our children will get along the way. I'm going to show an image of Dallas there. So this is Dallas in March, and I'm very proud. She can skate quite well. She does still look like a little bit like a fawn there. But she is quite proficient at skating now. I love both my children, but I'm really proud of Dallas that she understands the value of sticking things out, even when it's difficult. When you try and teach, often you end up learning. Fatherhood has taught me so much. I sometimes wonder if God is watching us in our struggles. I imagine God is rooting for us, worrying, knowing and hoping that we will find purpose and meaning in our struggles. In the end, I'm sure God is like a gardener trying to nurture us and guide us down the right path.
It has not escaped my attention that among the mothers who spoke on Mother's Day and the fathers who are offering their perspective on fatherhood this morning, I am the senior citizen of the group. If I were feeling self-important because of that, I might suggest that I bring a wealth of wisdom and experience to this discussion. But as I think about being a dad, by looking through the rearview mirror rather than by looking at what's ahead, I must say that my emotions fall far from feelings of self-importance. For one thing, I have an adult daughter listening to what I have to say this morning, so I must tread carefully. Furthermore, I realize that any delusions or aspirations I may have had at one time of being the world's perfect dad are on a ship that sailed a long time ago. I can say that I tried my best, but must admit that my best has fallen short on many occasions, as is the case with many fathers and mothers whose venture into parenthood coincides with the start of careers in the workplace. Our kids came into the world at a time when life was very busy for us, and parenting made it just that much busier. When Sandra was born, I was taking night school courses at the University of Windsor on Monday and Wednesday evenings. I was directing the youth choir at LUMC and our church's radio choir, and that took care of Tuesday and Thursday evening. I was also a greenhorn in the teaching career that I had chosen to pursue, and was quickly realizing that that was definitely not a 9-to-4 job. I mention that not to boast or to complain, but to simply acknowledge that in hindsight, I know that the duties and responsibilities and joys of fatherhood were often squeezed between the many other things that occupied my time. So in the words of another parent who recognized his shortcomings, I must say that I wasn't anything special as a father, but I loved my kids, and I want to believe that they knew that. I was also conscious of the awesome privilege and opportunity it is to be a dad. I tried to allow myself to be guided by several principles, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Greg and I were on the same page on this, because I also have selected Proverbs 22:6. I'll use a different translation. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A second short passage of scripture which has guided me comes from the words of Joshua. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What that meant for our family was that we would take advantage of every opportunity to grow in our faith and our commitment to serve God. That meant spending a few minutes at dinner time every evening on family devotions and making Sunday morning attendance at church and Sunday school a priority. That wasn't always easy. When our youngest son began playing travel hockey and baseball, we encountered the challenge that many Christian parents face when their athletically gifted kids have a game scheduled on a Sunday morning. We decided that we would speak to each coach at the beginning of every season to inform him that Jeff would be unavailable for Sunday morning games. There were risks involved in that decision, but we decided to take our chances, and we were most fortunate. First of all, we were relieved and grateful that Jeff accepted that decision and never once complained about it. Secondly, we were blessed to have coaches who did not hold that against us. Jeff was never benched or ridiculed for the practice of missing all or at least a portion of Sunday morning games. And if we should arrive late at a game in the third inning or maybe before the end of the second period in hockey, he would immediately be placed in his customary position in the lineup. Three emotions sum up my feelings of being a dad. The first of these is overwhelming gratitude. I am grateful for having had the opportunity of being a father to my children. I remember that amazing feeling of exhilaration when each of them was born. I remember the sense of pride in watching them grow and develop and accomplish things. I know that pride is a sinful indulgence, but nevertheless, I am proud of my kids. Whatever else they have achieved in their lives to this point, I am so enormously grateful that all three of our children chose to make service to God and involvement in their Christian communities a part of their lives. That is more important to me than if they had become a renowned writer or scientist or NHL superstar. But a second feeling is regret. I regret that I am by nature a perfectionist. Guys like that can be hard on those who have to put up with them. And I am very much aware that, perfectionism notwithstanding, I am not the perfect dad. I regret that I wasn't always as patient as I should have been with my children. I regret that I didn't always choose the wisest disciplinary strategy when my kids needed a bit of guidance. I regret that I didn't check the rope on the swing before it broke, just as my daughter reached the apex of its backswing. I regret that I wasn't always there when my kids needed me and that I missed some of the big moments in their lives because I was involved in those other things that were a part of my life. I missed Sandra's university graduation ceremony because I was on a music festival trip with the UMEI choir. I missed an opportunity to console a son whose beloved pet terrier was hit by a car late one evening after he was asleep because I needed to be gone by 5 the next morning before he was awake in order to get to a principal's meeting for private school administrators in Toronto. But finally, and perhaps most importantly, I am filled with a sense of how grace has played such an immense role in my life as a dad. My kids have displayed grace by forgiving my errors and overlooking the warts and the blemishes of my character. My God has showered me with so much grace in my role as a parent. I think I have always recognized children as a precious gift from God, but it was not until Ruth and I faced the most difficult thing that a parent can encounter that I realized the true measure of God's grace to us as parents. I know I said this at Jeff's memorial service, and I ask your forgiveness for repeating myself and maybe for getting a bit preachy. We are all, as we have already heard, children of God. And when God blesses a husband and wife with a child, he is entrusting those parents with the love and care and nurture of one of his precious children. To lose one of them is a brutally painful experience, but it is also an experience that has enabled me to more fully appreciate the enormous gift and the immeasurable grace of God in giving us those children in the first place. Thanks be to God for our children.
Thank you, Greg and Paul, for your sharing and for your vulnerability. It's special to hear from you. My own parenting journey started when we had a miscarriage, a year and a half before Tobias was born. And that was a really painful experience that very much shaped how we experienced the pregnancy with Tobias. And then during the pregnancy with Tobias, we had a friend that had a stillborn child and a relative that had a very late miscarriage. And it seemed to us at that time, during this pregnancy, that to actually have a healthy child was the exception. Tobias was born after a very, very long labor by emergency C-section. As they were preparing for the surgery, I was asked to sit outside the room for a few minutes. And I remember some of the thoughts going through my head. It struck me harder than it yet had that in a few minutes, I was going to have a child. I was going to be a father. I admit at that point, I wasn't thinking very much about what it would mean to be a Christian father. I was just amazed and in awe at this new life that was about to enter the world and that I was going to be a father. Holding Tobias a short time later was incredibly special. We'd been reading all those books about how this child has been developing in the womb. And now here was this amazing new being that had developed over those months into this precious child. In my mind was a little bit of Psalm 139. It was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I still feel that about Tobias and Matea. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And then and sometimes now, I feel overwhelmed. I remember a few days after Tobias was born, and it was time for us to head home from the hospital, and we left the building. I think I was holding Tobias, and Charlene and I looked at each other and half jokingly said, "You know, they're just letting us walk out of here with him. Do they know we have no idea what we're doing?" And we don't always know what we're doing, that's for sure. But that began the journey of parenting that's been one of the greatest joys of my life. And it has also been very hard at times. I remember during Matea's first year, for much of that year we were working through a fairly serious church conflict at Valley View. And that same year, Matea struggled with sleep. And we weren't getting a lot of sleep. And that made working through those conflicts that much more difficult. That first year with Matea was really hard. I admit that I loved when each one of them turned one. I particularly loved the terrific twos. I continue to love parenting. I love being a father. I love the individuality of my children. Tobias, with his deep love of music and his passion for tall buildings and architecture, his interest in how things work. Matea, with her creativity and passion for art and crafting that simply bursts out of her in amazing ways, despite her parents' failings in those areas. Matea's incredible generosity, both of them with a love of reading and of books. I love being a father. But I reflect, what does it mean to be a Christian father? In the book, The Shack, which was a bestseller a little while ago, exploring in a novel form some theology, God appears to Mac, the main character, in the form of a black woman who wants to be called Papa. And he asks, why is there such an emphasis on God being a father? Right? And here she is appearing as this woman. And God replies, we knew once creation was broken, true fathering would be much more lacking than mothering. Don't misunderstand me, both are needed. But an emphasis on fathering is necessary because of the enormity of its absence. There are a lot of ways to father badly, and a lot of bad fathers. The incredible prevalence of abuse, even in Christian homes, is evidence of that. And as a new parent, and even as a parent for more than 9 years, I want my fathering to reflect my Christian faith. What does that mean? And for me, it means a few things. It means teaching my kids the Bible stories, singing songs of faith together, talking about their big questions. It means finding ways for them to get to know Christian people of different generations and backgrounds. I believe God loves diversity. So for me, it also involves finding ways for my children to get to know people who are different than them. As the parent of a boy, part of what I want to do is to teach my son to respect girls and women. Learn not to talk over them. Learn to listen to them, and especially to their no. I want to teach my daughter that her voice matters, and what she thinks and feels matters. We named our children God is Good and Gift of God. And I believe God is those things. God is good, and God has gifted us with these children. My children who are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is our loving Father, as the scripture said that we heard this morning. And I pray that each of us, each one of us here, in the relationships with the children in our lives, may follow God's lead. I pray these things. Amen. We sing